This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Ewan Robertson from Alba Wine, or the Alba Wine Guy. How are you, Ewan?
Absolutely fantastic. And nice to meet you, Chris, on this sunny day in Scotland, which is very unusual.
Well, I'm in London at the moment, but we haven't met physically, but we've spoken quite a bit over the last couple of years anyway, haven't we?
Absolutely. We have a shared interest in wine education and tastings and whatever.
Yeah. So one of the things I wanted to talk about today, or the main thing I wanted to talk about today, is I want to talk about the WSET Level 4 diploma and the essay questions that that students have to write. Because do you want to tell us your role?
Yeah, I currently work for the Wissett School in London. And I basically help them out by marking the homework essay questions issue out to students ahead of the final exam.
Okay. And those essay questions, are they similar to the final exam?
Yeah, my understanding is that many, if not all, of the questions actually are questions which have been part of previous exams.
Okay, so you've got a fairly good idea about what type of question and how to answer the question to get maximum marks.
Got a fairly good idea. Some of it is opinion.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I think that's fair enough. So what we're going to do is we're going to just talk a wee bit about these essays, because there seems to be three different times, if you're a WSET Level 4 student, that you have to write an essay. It's these homework essays that you mark. You've got the essays for the exam. And then the final one is the D6 dissertation on some research that the student has to do. They have to do a dissertation on an element. And there's almost three different essays. But I don't think we'll talk about the dissertation, because you're not really involved in that, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Okay, so we'll just focus in on the sort of the homework essays, which you're involved in, but also a little bit, hopefully that'll give an insight into how to answer on the exam essays as well. Before we do that, though, let me just put everything in context for some people, because if you've been doing WSET for a while, you'll know that at level one, you get 30 multi-choice questions, and it's easy as you just turn up and you just bang out 30 multi-choice questions. Level two, 50 multi-choice questions. At level three, you get 50 multi-choice questions in your exam, but also you've got four short written answer questions. And it's those four short written answer questions that almost, if you're going to fail, that's where you're going to come unstuck. Whereas in the level four, it's all open response essays. And I mean, whether you're doing D3, which is the big wines of the world one, or D1 or D2, or the different modules that they do, all the questions seem to be open response. There's no sort of multi-guess involved in this at all. The specification talks about open response, but I think the questions, if I recall, are quite different to maybe the level three questions. At the level three question, a short written question will be made up of multiple parts, and it almost spells out how to answer the question in the actual question itself. It sort of steers you into what's the best way of structuring the answer. But an open response question, I understand, is a little bit more esoteric, a little bit more vague in terms of the way you can approach it.
It's certainly more open-ended. However, one of the things I suggest to students, and I've marked a lot of papers over the last two or three years, is that if they look at previous exam questions, then the exam questions have a very, very similar structure. And indeed, when they're revising, I suggest that they revise against that structure.
Okay.
So that, because time is precious in the exam, so what they don't want to be doing is working out the structure or the basic structure to answer a question.
Okay, so what is that basic structure?
So, for instance, I'm going to read a question which was just part of a five-week programme of homework essays running up to the final D3 question. The question is, describe the climate, topography, soils and grapes of the Northern Rhone.
Okay.
That's the first part of the question, which equates to 40% of the mark. It then follows on, explain how these are responsible for the different styles and qualities of the wines produced in the various appellations.
Okay, all right.
Now, that is a very, very typical style of question. So what you don't want to do is go into the exam and say, what structure do I have for climate? What they should be thinking of is, what's the climate classification?
Yep.
Right? What does that mean in terms of winter and summer temperatures?
Yep.
And are there any other factors such as rainfall or wind? You know, the Mistral and the in Northern Rhone is a very good example.
Yep.
If they study in that way, then once that question comes, they go bang, 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 bang.
Yep.
And indeed, the marker is actually using a grid, okay? The grid is very often structured in that way.
Okay. So what would the grid look like?
So basically, what the grid would look like, and certainly the grids I operate with, is in this question, there is a grid associated. So it basically says climate, topography, soils, grapes for that first part. And it does it in sequence.
Okay.
Now, if you are making it really easy for the marker, you write your answer in the same sequence.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Does it have to be paragraphs or can you do it as bullet points?
The advice is that an answer typically shouldn't just be a set of bullet points. There has to be some linkage. And that linkage is typically if you have a climate factor, which is the Mistral, okay?
Yeah.
The reason that Roussanne is not very popular in the Northern Rhone is it's not very wind resistant. That's why you need that sort of linkage between your bullets.
Okay.
The only other thing is that be very careful when they ask, write an essay style question, because what the examiner is looking for is not a series of bullets, and he's looking for an introduction, or she is looking for an introduction, a main body, and a conclusion.
Is there marks reserved for introduction, main body, and conclusion on the grid?
Yeah. However, there are students that give as an introduction, main body, and a conclusion when it doesn't specifically ask for an essay.
Oh, okay.
So you're using valuable essay time up by writing those things.
Essay is like a particular type of question they've got to answer, whereas maybe they might ask some shorter type of question sometimes.
Most of the questions are out of 100 marks because certainly when I sat the exam, and I have to check this, is it was five essays. Or should I say five questions? They may be split into, let's say, one or two parts, but they are all marked out of 100.
That question you described about the Northern Rhone, that is very classic WSET. You know, it's always, they're always about some sort of, or not always, but often they're about some sort of thing relating to climate and viticulture and winemaking and how particularly climate and viticulture influence the ultimate style of the wine, and relating that back. So We see that type of question at level three quite a bit as well, in the harder questions in the exam. Sometimes the exam has some easy questions, and then they might chuck in a slightly harder question like that in the exam to do that, where you're trying to show a particular wine, how it relates to the viticulture and vinification of the wine, climate, etc.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, after marking quite a lot of papers, you see students who actually understand the linkage,
yeah,
as opposed to the students who, whilst the content is correct, a recent paper, for instance, was littered with high acidity because of a high diurnal range.
Mm-hmm.
What they didn't say, however, was what contributes to that high diurnal range.
The climate.
Yeah.
Exactly. Continental climate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whereas the good student will say it's a range between 100 and 700 metres. The further you go up the slope, the more likely you are to have a high diurnal range.
Or the more continental as well. But yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah, no, that's true. So you've got to put it together. In the old days, these essay questions used to be marked out of 100, as you're saying, but you used to get 80 marks for content and 20 marks were for things like bibliography, style, spelling, structure of the question. Is that still the way you mark them now?
No. I certainly don't get any steer that it's the 80-20. However, I do understand what the motivation for that was, because particularly in Wissett School, London, you know, there are so many nationalities sitting the exam where quite often English is not, you know, their native language and whatever. And it would be kind of wrong to penalise people who are making their best attempt answering a question in English. It does get to a point, though, where potential is to use exact the wrong word and the marker is just not sure what they're referring to.
Okay, so you don't have marks for spelling or grammar, and as long as you can follow the question and the answer, as long as you can follow the answer, you wouldn't necessarily mark someone down because they've spelt a company wrong or a grape variety wrong?
No, but there comes a point, and this is where there is a degree of subjectivity in it, Chris, is that if an essay is absolutely full of spelling mistakes, then when the marker is looking to a 50-50 judgment call as to whether the student is correct or not, understandably, the marker's confidence is depleted in terms of the student, but it's only in extreme cases.
From a personal experience, I know that spelling can't be that important because I passed my diploma first time, the theory anyway.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I do a podcast, mate, and it's nothing to do with the fact that I've got a face for radio. Well, that's what Jane says anyway.
Yeah, but, I mean, both you and I are ex-engineers, so English is probably not our strong suit.
Yeah. Give me a calculus of Bernoulli equation anytime. Okay, now that's cool. So that sort of thing isn't as important, but that structure about how you answer it will make it easier, because I know, for example, my level three students, WST generally says when you're writing a tasting note, you can write it any way you want. They like it in nice wordy words. And I tell my guys, no, that's fraught with error. You're going to forget something, and it's a nightmare to mark. So I train my guys to lay it out in a very systematic approach in terms of the tasting note, and then marking. Oh, my God, my marking is such a breeze. You can rattle through the marks without hunting, because you know it's going to be sweetness, acidity, alcohol, tannins. You know exactly what's going to happen. And even if you can't quite read their writing a little bit, you know exactly what it is if you're struggling, because you know that they've done it the way you want them to do it. So laying the answer out in a way that's easy for the examiner is actually quite a useful thing, both for the examiner, but also to make sure they don't miss any marks.
And indeed, that's a good thing to highlight, because the grid that we get for tasting notes actually is just a marked up version of the SAT.
Yeah.
So if you choose not to follow the SAT, you're asking for trouble.
Well, I know that, because I may have passed the theory first time, but the tasting I didn't get first time. I wrote back to them, because my diploma was a little bit fraught, because I set the first time I'd set the tasting, I had massive hay fever, completely out of control. I wouldn't have been able to tell the difference between red wine and Coca-Cola, apart from the colour. So I failed the first time because of the hay fever, and then I missed it the second time because my daughter was born the day of the exam and it just wasn't a priority. And then I reset it like 4 years later, and by then I'd completely forgotten all about the way WC have a particular structure they like things in and particular vocab, and I'd forgotten all about it. And so when I reset it, I failed, and I'd gotten to send me why I'd failed, and they did a big write-up about, you know, you need to use specific terms and all this sort of carry-on, which has really stuck with me ever since.
Yeah, and indeed, just as you know, I've just been got on to the first stage of the NW program, and the way in which they write tasting notes is different again.
Okay, so in terms of the essays, what are some of the good things that you see in an essay that, as an examiner, you go, ah, that's good? You might sway you to give them a little bit more marks, perhaps.
we try as much as possible to make it objective. But, you know, we're human beings after all. So it's quite interesting, particularly with this, say, 5 week period that we've had five essay questions. One of the things that many students do, they first of all ignore the question, and then they just write everything they know about the Northern Rhone. And it's quite often one, two, or even three pages of a continuous paragraph.
Now, I think we're talking.
Yes, as you said before, that were we talking about you?
Yeah.
Yes, but the thing is that paragraph, two or three pages of paragraph, might have absolutely superb content in it, but it's really, really difficult for the marker to pick out, using the grid, all that content. And the marker is marking a bank of papers within a certain timescale, whereas students who then look at the question, they structure their answer based on the question. So, for instance, again, going back to our question on the Northern Rhone, they will have a headed section called climate. Yep. They'll have a separate paragraph, and maybe even split into further smaller paragraphs, a headed section on topography, and then soils, and then grapes. That is an absolute breeze for the marker, because it really reflects the grid.
Yeah.
Going back to the students who just want to show that they know a lot, there is nothing in that question that asks about winemaking.
Yep.
But many of the students write about winemaking.
Yeah, I can imagine you get lots about adding Viognier in with your Syrah for co-fermentation and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And that's fine if you're doing it when you're talking about the grapes, but length of time in oak, there's nothing on the grid. So basically, you're using up exam time for no mark. And the other thing I would, and it goes down to the confidence piece, is be sure of your facts. So if you're defining a yield level, if you're not quite sure, So, for instance, I'm marking another paper that in the grid, it says the typical yield level in Priorat is 5 to 6 hectolitres per hectare. If you're not quite sure, you just say something like less than 10 hectolitres per hectare, approximately. That's fine. What you don't say is if you're not sure, it's 15.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then the marker's going, they haven't read the content.
Well, they haven't recalled it.
In my diploma exams, I know it, but I just can't recall it. So, and if you can't recall the specific figure, you just say a low yield.
Yeah.
And it all hangs together. Now, you won't get as many marks as the person that can say 5 to 6 hectolitres per hectare, but at the same time, you'll get marks.
What about, because I've come across this when we've been producing these flashcards for Sparkling recently, there's specific producers that WCT want you to be able to quote, and they're in the textbook, because in your essays quite often you have to say, you know, you might have to put down the name of a producer that represents a particular style of wine. For example, they specifically name a late disgorged Bollinger wine, and so if you're answering a question about late disgorgement, I imagine on your grid you probably want them to mention Bollinger RD as a particular wine on the grid for a mark. Is that correct?
Only if it's in the grid. And one of the things that Wissett have changed since I sat it, so it's comparatively recently, when I sat my diploma, they said, here's the course content, but we expect you to read out with that content.
Yes.
That gave Wissett, I think, quite a lot of problems.
Yes.
Because they say, what is widely?
Mm.
So the guidance now is that if you have read the course content, which is either online or in the book, then that's all you need to know.
The issue I'm raising is, what happens if in the essay you name a late disgorged wine, but what happens if they name a late disgorged wine that isn't on the grid? So they use that as an example. You're expecting it, because we saw this a lot in things like some of the Champagne regions where they talk about, I think the textbook's got 4 Grand Crus named in the Champagne region, but there's more than that, 4 Grand Cru villages, but there's more than that. So in our flashcard questions, we highlighted the 4 that were in the textbook, because the question is, name 4 Grand Cru Champagne. And we put the 4 in, bold, but then we added all the other ones underneath, because the answer could be any of those 4 that they've mentioned in the book, but it could also give a valid answer for all the other ones that weren't in the textbook that they just didn't include because, you know, just to save textbook pages, I imagine. What happens on your grid if they mention something that isn't in the textbook, but it's just as good a valid answer as anything else?
Yeah, well, all I can answer it is how I cater for that particular situation. So if there is something in the grid that names a particular producer, but the student answers another producer, I'll actually have a look whether that is a valid or not. But that's just me.
Okay.
Okay. I can't speak for the other markers.
Okay, I imagine if you mark the exams, they've got particular rules about that.
Yes, there will be a sort of a second run over, whether it's appeals and all that sort of stuff. The big challenge with the whole beverage industry is that it just didn't stop. So anytime you put out content, it just reflects a point in time.
Although the new book, for example, we wrote all these sparkling wine flashcards, and then they added 2 more chapters to the sparkling book.
Yeah.
It was like, oh God, back to the drawing board for 2 more chapters.
Yeah.
They do. I think the idea of having the book as an online book as opposed to anything else gives them that flexibility to update materials a little bit quicker.
Absolutely.
And I think we've covered everything. Is there anything you want to cover?
No. I think we've covered the main pieces. And I just reiterate, keep it simple for the marker, because they are the gateway for you passing your exam. And just like you have limited time in the exam, the marker doesn't have infinite time to pore over your paper. So just make it as easy as possible.
Following the question structure and headings and linkages between the sections.
Absolutely. Every student that does that, they'll certainly increase their chances of passing, or indeed moving from just a pass to a merit, and indeed a merit to a distinction.
All right. Now that's good answers, Ewan. I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Lovely.
Cheers, bud.
Thank you. Bye.